Community connections, CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local, your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community connections, CKMS.
Happy Monday, Waterloo Region. It is the 5th of June, 2023. In the studio today, we've got Natalia Valencia, who's going to be doing a live on-air in-studio performance.
The butterflies found a place to land as I walked through the door and shook your hand. Something about you felt so familiar. Like I'd known you 4 years before. I'd never been to this side of town. Couldn't tell lager apart from a stout. But with you, I didn't have to pretend. You seem to like me for the way I am. And oh, you at a local bar, didn't even notice how the hours passed. Religion, evolution, and politics with you didn't seem like hard topics. And oh, it was unexpected how easily my walls faded. Didn't know.
Natalia Valencia in the studio. That is so great.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here, Natalia.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So that's Saturday night.
Yes.
That's your first produced piece.
Yeah. First ever single. I released it back in November of last year. And it just felt like the perfect song to release. It's like light and peppy and I'm happy with it.
It is. I've played it several times on the show.
Yes, I've heard it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. You published on Instagram a reaction video to you hearing yourself on the radio. It was just wonderful. You know, it's so nice for me to know that somebody out there is listening. And I guess it's good for you to know that somebody is listening to your music too.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, like, music is what I love to do, and when I first started, I really didn't think that it would go anywhere. And so to hear it on the radio, I'm just so honored and happy to have it on there.
Yeah, that's what community radio is for. It's to get local musicians like you on the air. And, you know, hopefully this leads to a whole career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be lovely. Yeah. That's the dream.
Yeah. So you wrote this last November. At least you published it. You released it last November.
Yes. Yeah.
But when did you start writing? How long did it take? the writing process? How long does that
take? Yeah, great question. Music for me has always been an outlet, so there's not a time in my life where I remember not writing music. I mean, as far as my memory goes as a kid. Yeah, yeah, I have like notebooks of songs from when I was six. I don't know what I had to say at that age, but I have songs from back then. Saturday Night, I wrote a couple of years ago about a really great first date that I had. I just came home and I was really inspired. And then I started working with Trevor Dubois, who's a producer in Toronto. Uh-huh. And I sent him a few demos and we decided that Saturday Night would be the first one that we worked on. So we started working on that, I think, June of last year. And then, yeah, finally put it up in November.
Okay, so it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, yeah, it's a patient process. We want to get things right, so I'd rather not rush it and just take it step by step.
And you released just that as a single, just by itself.
Yeah, just that as a single. I had talked to a few other musician friends, and they said, when you're first starting out, it makes sense to release singles first, and then once you have a few more, you can package it up as an EP, and so that's what I've been working on.
I would have thought, as a non-musician, going into the studio is a fairly intense process, and you'd want to get as many songs in and recorded in one session as you possibly can.
Yeah, I think that usually probably is the typical process. With Trevor, we sort of work on it track by track. Right now we are working on an EP.
Okay.
And yeah, it's just a great process. I think the goal with the EP is to go in and record all the songs at once, just to keep the creativity going. But for the first two, we worked on them individually. Yeah.
And then will you be releasing the EP as one whole, or will you be trickling out the songs one at a time?
Yeah, I'll probably trickle them out as singles first. So I put out the next one, Finding My Wings, less than a month ago. I think it's been 3 weeks. And then we're working on a few more. And once I have all the songs done, I think what I'll do is package it up as an EP and maybe put a couple in there that I haven't released yet as singles. Yeah.
How did you find this producer in Toronto?
It's a funny story, actually. So we met at Maxwell's in Waterloo. Yeah.
Big concert venue here in Waterloo.
Yeah. So they did an artist showcase. I applied and got in, thankfully. And Trevor was also part of that showcase. So we met at that show. That would have been, oh my gosh, probably 2018, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, some time ago. And then we just stayed connected through social media. And last year, I decided that I was finally going to record all these songs that I was sitting on. And that week that I was looking at some producers in Toronto, Trevor actually posted that he was going to try producing. So I messaged him, we got on a call, and it just felt like such an organic fit. We listened to similar music. And yeah, just like a genuinely good, kind person. I think when you have that working relationship,
you've got to have somebody that understands you to, you know, get the best quality music recorded.
Yeah, and he's fantastic. Like the amount of hours that he puts in.
And he's a performer too.
Yeah. He's got, he's been in quite a few bands actually. And his most recent one is Basement Apartment. And they're great. They put on a show at Horseshoe Tavern in Toronto, which is like an iconic venue.
Time.
Yeah. And it was incredible. Yeah.
Okay. Trevor, go to our website, click on how to submit music, and send us your album, and we'll stick it on the air here at CKMS FM.
Yes. Trevor, if you're listening, submit Blowing Up.
And does Trevor have his own studio? Did you have to rent studio space?
It was in a home studio, so he had built one in one of the office spaces.
Okay, so he's very familiar with the equipment. That makes it good. If you've got somebody who knows the stuff, then.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful producer, truly.
Yeah. Was that your first time in a studio to record?
No, actually, I don't think I shared this with you, but when you sent me the link and the map to this building, I realized this was the first place that I ever, not exactly in this room, no, but in one of the other rooms. When I was working with another producer, I think I was 16 at the time. Nothing materialized from it, but it sort of feels like a really cool full circle moment back here in this exact building after having recorded songs.
I'm not sure that would have been. I'm not sure if there's a recording studio here any longer.
Yeah, I think the person I was working with, Nick, moved it. I'm not sure if he's still producing, but
this is a noisy building, so probably not the best place for a recording studio or, for that matter, a radio station.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, so now you've got the second tune all down. Trevor again, same studio.
Yeah, so we recorded Finding My Wings in that studio again, and then the next ones we're still working on, so we'll see where we record that. I think he might have moved. So.
Digging back through your six-year-old notebooks to see if there's anything worth salvaging?
Maybe not the ones that I wrote when I was six, but definitely with this EP, I think I'm sort of looking back on my 20s. I'm turning 29 next week, and so...
Oh, happy birthday in advance.
Thank you. And so... The EP that I'm working on, I think my idea is to tell a story with it of what my 20s were like. You know, there was like a lot of joy and fun and also just figuring out how to navigate the world.
It's a concept album.
Yeah, I would say in my head it is. We'll see if it translates.
Excellent, excellent. You have something else to play?
Yeah, so I'm going to play Finding My Wings next, which is...
Which is makes sense because we've just talked about that. So tell me, this must have a backstory as well.
Yes. So I did my undergrad at UW, but then I went on to do my master's at Carleton in Ottawa. And, you know, it was the first time I moved away from home. You're kind of in this weird space where you still feel like a kid, but you're also... an adult now, navigating the world and trying to figure it out. And so this one I wrote in the days after my mom and sister dropped me off in my first apartment. There's just like a sense of fear and loneliness, but I guess also excitement in a way, because I was going to get to figure out who I was on my own for the first time.
You've captured that in music.
In
Finding My Wings, Finding Your Wings.
That's the idea. Yeah.
Natalia Valencia, live on air in studio.
Catch the wind and leave the nest. I'm anticipating what comes next. Although I'm headed north, miss the comfort of my home, and I'm bound to run before I walk. Forget to think before I talk. Sometimes my voice will falter, head will go without a flock until I find where stay sincere and humble through all the fears and stumbles. I'll keep trying new things. I'm still finding my wings. I'm still finding my wings.
Natalia Valencia, live in studio, Finding My Wings. Sounds like you found your wings.
Thank you. I definitely still feel like I'm figuring it all out, but I guess that probably never goes away.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about butterflies at the start of the show. I've done this for a while now, and I still get butterflies, you know, the 5 minutes before the show starts, and I imagine you do too.
Yeah, I can definitely relate. I always come out of performances like sweating and definitely needing a shower, but yeah, that's okay. I think it's good to push yourself out of your comfort zone
a little bit. Yeah. You said you do performances. Where have you been playing?
So for right now, I've mostly been doing open mics around Toronto, which is where I currently live. So Kensington Market is a big spot for open mics. I'm thinking of Taco, Free Times Cafe. Oh my gosh, where else have I been?
So you came in from Toronto today.
I came in on Thursday. My mom lives in Waterloo, so I came to visit her. Yeah. And
you're a Waterloo native?
Yes. Yeah.
So coming back home is nice.
Yeah, definitely. I still have like a lot of friends here too. This is where I grew up for most of my life. So yeah, most of my closest friends are here.
U of W?
UW, yeah.
You said you did a master's in Ottawa?
Carleton.
Master's in what? What do you do when you're not singing?
So I did my master's in social work. Mm-hmm. So that was a 2-year program. I was in Ottawa for about 4 years. And so outside of work, I work in social services. Currently I work for an environmental ed nonprofit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
And so the degree is what? Is a degree in social work?
A degree in social work. So my undergrad was social development studies at UW, and then a master's of social work in social policy, and then a bit of counseling here and there.
Okay.
But I went the social policy route.
Okay. Policy is good. Somebody has to do that.
Yeah.
Better have somebody who's passionate about things than somebody who's not. Excellent.
Yeah, develop legislation. Yeah, so I did a few placements, like at the City of Ottawa and then the Senate.
Oh,
yeah,
good time.
Yeah, for Senator Wanda Bernard, who is just, such an inspiration. Yeah. And I got to work with her for a while, for about 4 months.
Where do you find time to write music when you're doing all the work?
It's hard to explain the process of writing music because I think inspiration just sort of like hits whenever.
Have so many great first dates and only so many leaving the nest and finding your wings.
I write from personal experience, so whatever I'm going through is what translates into the songs.
Right. How does that carry over when you're doing the cafes and open mics? People relate to what you're singing? Does it blend in with the other music that's being played?
Yeah, I love open mics because you get a variety of things, and there are so many local talented musicians, each with their own style. Open mics are also a great opportunity to try out new songs and see if they connect with people. So I can always sort of tell which ones like hit the mark and which ones maybe still need a little bit of work.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you done any commercial gigs?
Playing
restaurants and
I've done a couple. When I was in Waterloo, I did quite a few, like some out in Brantford, some in Waterloo. The most recent one that I did was a So Far sound show. I'm not sure if you've heard of it.
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
They're they're like an organization that puts on shows all around the world, and they're at secret venues. So you buy a ticket and you don't know who's performing or where it's going to be. And then about 48 hours before they send you the location, they'll give you like a general neighborhood.
Okay.
And it was always a dream of mine to do one of those. I went on a Valentine's date there one time and I had so much fun, and it was on my bucket list for about 3 years. And then at the end of last year, I applied, not really knowing if I was going to get in, but I thought I'd give it a shot. And then I did, and I did that in, it was April.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It was,
because
yeah.
Not only does the audience not know who they're coming to see, but you have no idea who's coming to the venue. I mean, I figure that the open mic nights, pretty regular crowd that comes out to those things, and you know kind of the audience that you're going to be playing to, but...
Yeah, it's funny. Whenever I go to open mics, I'm like, oh, hey, nice to see you here. Yeah. I saw you last week at the other one. So, yeah, it's a cool community to build, but with So Far Sounds... Yeah, I had some friends and family go, and then the rest were people I'd never met, so it was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you do these gigs, you've done them all solo, just you, guitar.
Yeah, just me and my guitar. I've never played with a band before, but I'd love to try it sometime.
Oh, yeah. The recordings that we've been playing of yours, they sound more lush than just you and a guitar. There's mm-hmm. other stuff happening there.
Yeah, so that's mostly... Trevor, so we sort of work on like reference songs of the arrangement that we think would work, and then from there sort of like builds the parts. He's truly just a genius, and he'll come back sometimes, like Finding My Wings, we thought it would be a simple piano ballad, and then it sort of like builds up, and mm-hmm. the bridge is probably my favorite part. It just okay. sounds like it bursts open, okay. so it takes you in directions that sometimes you don't expect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
so what happened there? You hadn't... What changed for you in that song?
I knew that I didn't want it to sound sad, but like a little bit nostalgic and reflective, but not necessarily sad. So we started with the piano, and then I sent over some reference songs, and then Trevor got back to me one night. I got it, it was like 10 p.m. and he had sort of built this like washy drum sound around it, and he's like, I don't know if you like this, but I thought I'd give it a shot and send it over, and I really loved it because it was okay. different than the direction that I thought it would take.
And when you recorded it, that was all done track by track, or was it done with your full accompaniment as you were playing?
No, that was done track by track.
Okay.
Yeah, and then sort of builds it, and we send it over to a mixing engineer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also got the whole crew there, not just Trevor, but...
Dylan King, who has mixed both songs
Excellent.
That I put out. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, it makes a big difference when you got somebody who knows what they're doing to do it properly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, this is my first time recording, so I feel like I've... won the lottery
in
the collaborators that I have,
sure
for
have.
Sure.
Yeah. So the next album, have you started recording any of that yet?
Trevor has been working on the demos. So we have the songs that we're going to work on, and then maybe in the next month or so we'll start recording fully.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Trevor will be doing the accompaniment and the background music.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I trust him fully with the arrangements.
Do you have any input into what goes into that?
Yeah, like it's definitely a collaborative process. So we start with the reference songs, he builds it from there, and then pretty much every step of the way we're emailing to chat about, what if we tried this? What if we lowered, the sound of this? So we sort of, it's a lot of back and forth until we're both like, I think this is it. I think we got it.
And then, only then do you go to the studio to do some recording?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. So once the track is pretty much built, I head in to record vocals.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Have you written anything for the background stuff, or is it all just...
Not really. Like, I have ideas here and there, but Trevor's definitely the one who does the arrangement.
So he's the guy. Does he get a co-writing credit for that?
It's interesting. We've chatted about that. Like, where is the line between producing and songwriting? And I've done a lot of research, too, because that's not an area that I was really familiar with. So the way that I understand it, if you write the melody and the lyrics, then that's songwriting. And if you're doing the arrangements, like the full track, then mm-hmm. that's producing. So yeah, we sort of chatted about it to figure out, even though it is like still musically, you're writing pieces. But yeah, business-wise, it's sort of like an interesting thing where the lyrics and the melody is what's considered the songwriting, and then anything on top of that is production.
Right. Production.
Yeah.
Okay. I know there's a lot of producers who are really musicians, and they provide a lot of musical input to a lot of groups.
Yeah, for sure. Like, these songs definitely wouldn't be what they are without Trevor.
Yeah. Well, they sound pretty good with just you hearing a guitar.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That's really kind. Yeah.
Do you have another one?
Yeah, so this one is called My Kind of Paradise, and I wrote it while I was on a road trip through Newfoundland with one of my best friends. I don't know if she's listening, but Selena, this one's for you. Some people want high-end decor, dream of a cover on Rolling Stone. House way out in the suburbs, but I'm all for burning rubber. Cruising down an ATV, flying past the trees, living in slow motion, sitting by the ocean. I prefer the Atlantic, never been much for the electric. Me a cabin in the woods, no reception and some solitude. Far from the city life, that's my kind of paradise. It's my kind of paradise. Phone might be pretty, but I think it's a pity. Luxury is what we chase when we could just embrace. Hanging by the dock, no worries about the clock. I prefer the Atlantic, never been much for the cabin in the woods, no reception and some solitude. Far from the city life, it's my kind of paradise. It's my kind of paradise. Ocean, living in slow motion. I prefer the Atlantic, never been much for the electric. Give me a cabin in the woods, no reception and some solitude. Far from the city life, it's my kind of paradise. It's my kind of paradise.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Lends itself well to guitar. It's just a kind of campfire type of song, you know, talking about or singing about the experiences that you're having on your camping trip or, you know, out by the,
yes,
by the ocean.
Yeah, this one, yeah, it was a few years ago. I'd never been to Newfoundland and we took a road trip and I wanted it to sound, yeah, like a campfire or like a bit East Coasty, earthy, and it sort of hit me. We were at a cabin with no electricity, no reception, and where we had to like lug in some water from the lake to use anything. And so, yeah, I was sitting by the water. My friend was out riding the ATV, and it was really just like a serene moment, and I got the melody in my head and then just started writing it. I always carry my phone with me because either I'm writing in the notes app or making voice notes in there.
Oh, so you play into the phone to record what you're doing?
Yeah, if I don't have my guitar with me, then it's just like a melody in the lyrics that I'm recording in there. Or if I get the lyrics, I write them down in my notes app to save for later.
Okay, so you can compose music without having the guitar around?
Yeah, sometimes it works like that. The songwriting process is sort of different each time. Like sometimes I just get the lyrics first. Sometimes I hear the lyrics with a melody in my head and I record it on my phone until I can get to my guitar and sort of map mm-hmm. it out on there. Yeah, it's interesting. It's a hard process to explain.
Does it happen that you might have something running through your head and then when you put it to the guitar, it doesn't work out?
Yeah, there are songs that get written really quickly and then other ones where I'm like, that's not sounding right. And I'll have to play around for a while to find the right chords that fit it.
Yeah. Are you a poet who puts your words to music, or are you a musician who adds lyrics to your songs?
Ooh, good question. I'd probably say lyrics are what comes most easy to me. Yeah. And that's sort of what I gravitate towards in music most. Like, I talk to friends, and sometimes they're like, oh, no, I only really care about the melody. Or others were like, yeah, I listen to both. I think for me, when I listen to music, I'm always listening to the lyrics first. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a confession to make. I generally let the music wash over me.
Ah!
And don't pay any attention to the lyrics at all until the song has become, you know, well ingrained. And then finally, I'll listen to the lyrics and figure out what it's really about.
Yeah. There's no one way to experience music. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Play any other instruments?
Ukulele.
Oh.
And then I'm very slowly learning the piano. Slowly is key. It's sort of a different, like, I think brain-wise, it's a different technique. Because on guitar, you could just be playing rhythm. On piano, you're playing both rhythm and melody. So you have to keep both going at the same time.
I tried playing piano. It doesn't work for me. I can't get by one hand to do something different from the other hand.
Yeah, it's a lot of coordination.
Can't do guitar either, for that matter, so you have me beat both ways.
Do you play any instruments?
Not really. Harmonica. I tootle out on harmonica sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I love the harmonica. That's a lovely instrument.
Yeah. Well, there's a deal. Ukulele and harmonica. What do you play on ukulele?
Mostly lighthearted songs. I've written a few songs on ukulele, and then I sort of just like shift them over to guitar if I'm playing a gig, just because it's a bit easier. My ukulele doesn't plug in, so it's a bit harder to set up. I wrote one a few years ago also when I graduated from my master's program. I was sort of figuring out what the next steps were, because I think you go to school and then you're like, oh, what actually comes next after this? So I wrote that one on there. And then I think the first one that I ever played on ukulele was Bubbly by Colby Calais.
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah, it's a very like sweet, tender, cute song, which I think fits the vibe of ukulele. Yeah. And Riptide as well by Vance Joy, I think is a classic on ukulele.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't bring it with you though, did you?
I did not bring it today. I thought I was going to have to plug in. Maybe next time.
Okay, well, we can do that next time.
Yeah.
When the album comes out, let me know, and then get you back in, and you can take me through all the songs in the album. The song you just played, was that on the album?
Yeah, so we're working on that one. I think we have the arrangement down. So that one, I'm really excited about. It sounds very festival-y. As if you were performing at a fest. It just feels like a fun song.
Okay. Speaking of fest, music. Do you do Christmas music? Do you write for the season?
I've never written a Christmas song. That's something I haven't ventured into. I feel like there's a lot of great holiday music. Yeah. And
Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. So I haven't ventured into Christmas music yet, but maybe I'll try it. I don't know that anything can top, you know, some of the Christmas classics.
Yeah, well, could have one of those, you know. Natalia covers the Christmas classics.
I could, yeah. I could do a cover of one of them. I'll make a note of that for this year.
Do you do that? Do you play other people's music?
Yeah, I'll do covers once in a while. Okay. That's mostly how I started when I had my small YouTube channel. So I do like a mix of covers and then originals. And I sometimes post covers as well. When I do open mics, I mostly do originals because I feel like that's a good environment to try things out. But yeah, I'll do covers once in a while.
Yeah. The open mics don't give you a lot of stage time either, do they?
Usually it depends. Usually it's between like 10 to 15 minutes, depending on the venue. So that usually means like to three or four songs.
Okay, yeah. Places I've been to, folk clubs mostly, limit the performers to two songs. But then they've got generally a lineup of 20 or 30 people, so you know, you're there for hours anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are some in Toronto that are really popular because it is just like such a fun environment, but the list can be 30, 35 people, so you could be there till 1 a.m.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear all the different styles that are being presented at one of those places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So what influences your musical style? I haven't heard anybody else come into the studio to play quite like you.
Oh. So,
yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good
thing.
Thank you. So I'm wondering, where does that come from? Is that just something you've developed, or is that something you've borrowed from somebody else? You know, great artists steal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's, I feel like creativity is also being inspired by other works of art. Whenever someone asks me what my inspirations are, I blank and I'm like, what have I been listening to Spotify? Casey Musgraves, for sure, who's a country musician, sort of folk country. Kelsey Ballerini, mm-hmm. Maggie Rogers, who started out folk, and then her latest album is a bit more on like the rock side. I love her. As well as Wild Rivers, which I think is a local band from Kingston or Toronto, I want to say. And then also Tim Baker, who's a musician from Newfoundland.
My musical experience is very much lacking. I don't think I've heard any of those performers.
That's okay. They might not be the big names that most people know, maybe in the country music world. But yeah, I'd say that's probably my influence, more like folk country.
I would have pegged you as a folk musician, except for maybe Saturday Night, which is more poppy. The other song is more of a folk thing, and the other songs you've played today are folky as well.
Okay, yeah, that's great to know. Yeah. I think sometimes what you think is your sound, other people might not think is, so This is good feedback.
A number of songs coming into the station, and the artists have identified it as, you know, this particular genre. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm completely at odds with that. You know, this is not folk music. This is rock music. It has, you know, a 4-4 beat to it. But they've identified it as folk, so I stick it into the folk category. And sometimes it clashes a bit with the other folk music that we're playing. Mm. So, but
that's really interesting. Yeah.
Have you thought of going into something like, you know, glam rock or heavy metal? Or
I'd love to experiment. My partner actually is like a metalhead, and I had never listened to metal before him. So it's sort of like a funny dynamic, especially when our like Spotify playlists join. You'll have like soft folk country, and then all of a sudden you'll get whiplash to metal music. But I would have probably never been exposed to metal music had I not dated him. And it's a great genre, actually. I've learned to appreciate it. I went to my first mosh pit about a month ago at Maxwell's, actually.
Okay, yeah.
For Protest the Hero. And there's a lot of, like, musicality and technicality in metal, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, I've heard that there are specific metal music vocal coaches.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Because even from doing like a 1 hour show with clean vocals, it can feel like a lot. So I can't imagine the amount of vocal training it takes to do harsh vocals for a long period of time.
Yeah, you said you plug in when you're at these things. So you've got a pickup in that. I see some controls on the side of the guitar there.
Yeah, this is my first plug-in acoustic. Before this, I had like a black one that was just purely acoustic.
Mm-hmm. No pickup inside at all?
No pickup. So it was a bit harder to set up during performances. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now I have this one and it makes things a bit easier. Yeah. And I love the color and...
It's nice. Yeah, it's got a nice wood grain finish on it.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty.
Yeah, thank you.
You're amplified for vocals and you're doing most of those venues.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Have you thought of putting your guitar through any pedals or effects?
We have an electric guitar at home, so sometimes I'll play around with
it. Oh, you play electric too? Okay.
Well, no, I don't, I'll play around with it with different effects because we have an amp at home too, and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, really cool what you can get with that. I feel like I was watching a video the other day of someone feeding sound into an amp and then just like changing it every few seconds, and it can really change the sound.
I'll bet.
It's pretty cool.
I'll bet. But so far you've done all your songwriting with the intention of playing it on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, because really it is just me when I go out to shows. Mm. I don't have a band at this point, although... Might be something I look into later down the line.
Yeah, and then you have to come back in with the band and
it's
all over again.
Yeah, I'd love to see what it's like to play with a band. I've heard people say that it's actually less nerve-wracking because you have like your friends with you.
And so, somebody there to cover mistakes.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. You look like you're ready to play something else.
Yeah, sure. I'll play something else.
Okay. What do we got?
This one's called Living With Your Memory, and I wrote it after one of my friend's parents were getting divorced later in life, and I was just sort of experiencing some insomnia and thinking about what that must be like for her mom to just sort of like walk through her house with all those memories. Yeah. So I'll bring it down, but I'll bring you back up at the end.
Natalia Valencia on CKMS Community Connections.
Table for two. just in case you decide to come back to me. Well, until then, I'll be living with your memory.
Natalia Valencia. That's lovely and sad.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Dinner for one at a table for two. Mm-hmm. I listened to the lyrics and...
Oh, you, yeah, you tuned into the lyrics. Yeah, this is probably one of my favorites that I've written, but also one that's a bit of a mood killer. So I don't always bust it out, but it's...
It's not a mood killer, but it sets a mood.
Yes, yeah. that's a good way to reframe it. I have played this one live quite a bit, and despite...
It would be popular. I
yeah, you're right, actually. Despite it being quite sad, I think there's something about it that people seem to really relate to, because it really is just about loss in whatever capacity that is, and like holding on to the memories that you have of someone. And yeah, whenever I play this one, I find that the room goes kind of quiet and people really listen in. And so this one feels really like special and close to me. And I it's one of my favorites that I think I've written.
I think it might become one of my favorites too.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
So on the EP?
Yes, this one will also be, this will be the like low sort of like mellow, sad point of the EP. And then
one of the first releases or going to be one of the last releases? Because I'm looking forward to getting this
in
the library.
I'm hoping this one can be a single. I mean, I'd love for all of them to be singles. It's hard to make sense in terms of like mood and order. Because I started with Saturday Night, which is like very peppy and airy and light. And then Finding My Wings, which was a little bit more reflective. Mm-hmm. The next one, I think, will also probably be a bit more peppy. So it's just sort of like riding the wave of emotions. Well, we'll see,
You got your audience in your hand, you know. You can do with them as you please.
I mean, I want each song to have its moment because there's so much like love and work that goes into it. So I'd like to make it special. And this is my first time recording stuff. So might as well just enjoy the process.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. When you're doing the live gigs, you've done just the listening gigs. People come to you to listen to your music, you know, at the open mics or the folk clubs or those secret gatherings. And
the secret shows.
people come to listen to you. Have you done any of the ambient music gigs where you're just sitting in the background providing background music?
Yeah, I've done a couple like that where it's sort of just at a restaurant and you're playing in the background.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I feel probably more comfortable in those settings.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like I'm actually an introverted person by nature, so stepping out onto a stage or doing interviews is always a little bit scary. And so actually when I'm just sort of like blending into the background, it feels more comfortable, but I also think it's important to step out of your comfort zone. So that's why I force myself. I get nervous every time, but I force myself to do it because at the end, I feel really happy and it brings me joy. But
I think that'll never go away. Both the butterflies and the nervousness, as well as the joy and the happiness when you've had a good gig.
Yeah. I think that's just a normal human experience. I don't know anyone that doesn't get nervous when they perform. They're superhuman if they don't, I think.
I think if you don't no longer become nervous for a performance, you shouldn't be performing. You know, you've become jaded. The audience is no longer at the forefront for you. It's it becomes just a job.
Yeah, I love that reframing. I think, like, nerves are good. Yeah. Like, anxiety actually can be a good thing, and that's something that, you know, we don't tend to think of as a good thing because oftentimes it doesn't feel like it is, but it can, like, push you to prepare, and it means that you care about what you're doing, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So you're going back into the studio soon?
Probably in about a few weeks. I'm in Waterloo for another week or so, and then I'll head back to Toronto. Okay. Yeah, and we'll figure out what date works for recording.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a single recording session, or will it be just one day in the studio to lay down, what, 5 tracks in the EP?
Well, probably, yeah, the idea is to do like a week. So I'll block off my evenings for a week and I'll head over to Trevor's.
Every night.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never done it that way. So for both songs, it was just sort of like a one night individual session. But for these, yeah, I'm excited.
Okay.
I think it keeps you.
So you'll have a chance to go in there, record something, listen to the initial mix that Trevor puts together, and then decide, nope, that wasn't any good, and go back and do it again if you need to.
Yeah, usually I'm like very, I think both Trevor and I are like very much perfectionists. So like we'll probably get 40 or 50 takes of a verse until, I'm like very, we both are that way. Okay. And then we can sort of decide what makes sense. And it's good to have, because in the final mix, you might get an emotion on one take that you didn't get on another one. And so you can sort of pick and choose.
Right. And how about live stuff? Are you planning anything in the near future? Have you got anything booked?
I'm working on booking some shows. I just got my busker's license in Toronto. Oh. So you might see me out on the streets of Toronto performing this summer. That's
right. Subway Natalia.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. I travel on the subway in Toronto quite a bit. I lived there.
And
so it's always nice to listen to the music.
Yeah, I'm excited to try that out. I've only ever bussed once at an Ottawa farmer's market. And I'm excited to.
Yeah, I get some listeners there. You know, people that will stand around for the entire performance. And
other
people that walk by as quickly as possible and avoiding eye contact.
Exactly. You'll get, it's a taste of everything.
Yeah. You want to play me out?
Yeah.
Because it is that time.
Okay.
You've got about a minute left. You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections on Radio Waterloo. CKMS Community Connections is sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Contributing producer is Jeff Steger. My name is Bob Jonkman. We've had in the studio Natalia Valencia, who has been doing a live on-air in-studio performance with some lovely music. Definitely hope to have you back, Natalia.
Me too.
CKMS Community Connections for the 5th of June, 2023. CKMS Community Connections airs every Monday at 11 and alternate Fridays at 3 p.m. So I'll talk to you again next week.
Would we have met through a friend of a friend? Was it cosmically planned or sheer circumstance? Would you have seen me from across the room? Or did the stars place me in your view? Oh, I couldn't ignore it, how you shifted my orbit, swept me away. Now I'm better for it, life works in mysterious ways.